The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your host and podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 230. I hope that you, your friends, and your family are staying safe and healthy, and I'm glad that you are joining me here on this edition, because it's a fun edition. My guest and I had an absolute blast recording this episode last week for you. And of course, I'm talking about my guest, Chris Parsons, a man that many of you probably know better as the wrestler Magnum CK. He has wrestled for quite a number of years. As you'll hear, he took a little break in the middle of his career to pursue some other avenues. But Chris came on the PVD cast to talk about his new documentary that he produced called Magnum's Opus. When we recorded the episode last week, the documentary had not been released, but it is available now on YouTube and also on Amazon Prime. And the documentary kind of chronicles Chris's career in professional wrestling, especially during the time in which he found out that he had a pretty severe injury. As a matter of fact, and we talk about it in our conversation, he's kind of called it quits in the world of professional wrestling due to that injury. And so it's a great documentary that you definitely need to check out. Many of you here in Central Ohio know that, you know, Magnum CK was a staple with New Ohio Wrestling, and he has wrestled all over Ohio, all over the Midwest. And it was a real pleasure to finally sit down and chat with Chris. I hope that it brings a little smile to your face, because he and I joke around quite a bit. As a matter of fact, give just a quick little spoiler to one item in our conversation. I didn't think there was anybody else in this world besides myself and my good friend Steve that had their own wrestling role-playing game, but Chris has one. So we joke about that. We certainly talk about a lot of other topics, including the game that we love to play here, Tag, Feud, and Job. That's on deck. There is a whole host of fun in this episode, so let me stop rambling on and get to thanking our sponsor real quick so that we can get into Chris and my conversation. And of course, when I'm talking about sponsor, I'm talking about the great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. I know in this very bizarre world we're currently living in, you can't leave to go visit Jeff and all the fine folks at the store, which, as a side note, they are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And eventually, when we can leave our homes, you can go on over, grab some great comic book supplies or comics or graphic novels or toys or whatever at the store. But I want to let you know that they're being very active online. Of course, they have a website, wgcomics.com, and a Facebook page, facebook.com/wgcomics. And on that Facebook page, every Tuesday, they're doing Facebook Live auctions of different comic books and other collectibles that you can get on there, and you can bid on whatever comic you like that's on the showcase for that week. And that way, you're still getting a little bit of content. You're still getting an opportunity to spend some money. And let's be honest, every small independent business, no matter what it is, whether it's a restaurant, it's a bar, it's a comic book store or whatnot, is deeply impacted by COVID-19. So if you got some money to spend, you want to buy some cool comics, check out the live auctions every Tuesday on the Facebook page of World's Greatest Comics. Once again, just look for WG Comics. And so with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I sit down with Chris Parsons, a.k.a. Magnum CK, to talk about a whole lot of wrestling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of sitting down this evening with Chris Parsons, the man known as Magnum CK. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very, very well, especially given the circumstances. Not to date this podcast too much, but I'm sure everyone will always remember the time that we all had to sit in our house for several months and were quarantined. So under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, that's good. That's good. All the family, all the friends are safe and healthy and whatnot.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, it's funny because we don't, you know, we obey the order pretty well. And we don't really go out other than to, like, walk our dogs. But, you know, occasionally you have to go to a store. And I was in, like, one of the local Walmarts. And I guess I heard where everybody started wearing masks and stuff, but I didn't really think much of it. And I was, like, the only person in the store not wearing a mask. And everybody's just staring at me like I'm a walking contagion.
Which, that would be a sweet moniker if you were still working, man. The walking contagion.
Well, yeah. And I remember the good old days when the person wearing the mask in the store was the weirdo. But I was like, everyone's like, what's this freak doing in here with his naked face?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's like I've said it so many times. It's like being in a comic book. Like this is like some type of like evil doers, like Dr. Doom's evil plan to destroy the world or something, you know?
Yeah, it's like being in a comic book, but like way less fun, right? Because it's like, it'd be like if Dr. Doom's plan was like lame as shit and like was just like, yeah, listen, it's serious. Listen, okay, you know, some people are going to die, but really, mostly, you're probably going to get your wages cut and you're going to be really bored.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. Yeah, there's no Fantastic Four coming to save us from this right now. So
yeah, right. Like the Fantastic Four shows up and they're like, hey man, you know, this is a pretty big inconvenience. Can you just knock it off?
All right. Well, we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff. You know, your wrestling career, your theater background, your dabbling in movie making. But let's talk about the big topic, if you will. We are recording this on April 8th, but on April 9th at 12 p.m., your brand new documentary called Magnum's Opus is going to drop on YouTube and on Amazon Prime. So can you fill in the listeners as to what this documentary is all about?
Yeah, well, it was originally supposed to be a sequel to a documentary we made about 4 years ago called Marking Out. And that one's all about just fandom in general, mostly wrestling fans, but just we went to convention, you know, cons and everything else, and just kind of what it means to still be a fan of something long after you're supposed to not be a fan of it anymore. And that got me back, got the wrestling bug, kind of bit me again. I used to wrestle years ago and I got back into wrestling after that documentary. And then we're like, hey, you know, a couple of years went by, let's make a sequel. And I'm wrestling again, so that'll just be a small part of it. We'll say, hey, remember Chris talked about wrestling and how he used to wrestle? Well, hey, he does it again, and he's kind of over in Cleveland. That's cool. Yay. And then things just kind of took a turn, and the movie ended up kind of following my story completely because some injuries that I had. And I gained a ton of popularity at AIW up in Cleveland and several other places. And I just kind of had the rug ripped out from under me, but we just happened to be filming this documentary at the time. So it was just kind of this fortunate positioning for an unfortunate situation. And I won't ever make anything all the way sad or all the way dramatic. So it's actually a pretty funny documentary. It's quirky. It has a ton of guest appearances in it from, you know, RJ City and Greg Iron shows up in it at one point. Swaggle is in it, Colin Delaney, lots of people show up in it, but it's a really fun human interest piece is what I'm calling it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, because it ties into the documentary, you unfortunately had to retire and not on your terms. So what was the catalyst for you calling it quits?
Well, you know, I did and I didn't get to do it on my terms. I mean, I'm lucky that I got to still decide to have a last match. And actually, my last match ended up being two matches in one night. But of course, you know, but Yeah, so right before I debuted for AIW, I hurt my back, but I didn't realize how badly. And I just kept wrestling. And about a year later, almost a year later, I found out how serious the back injury was. And I'd been wrestling for several months with fractures in my back, and they just weren't healing. And so that was some pretty jarring news. And the reason why, aside from just the, and the footage is in the documentary of what I did that injured my back, aside from the really stupid way I landed, turns out I have a form, a pretty common form of spina bifida called spina bifida occulta, which is actually super common. And anytime you see, if you look at someone's lower back and you see two little dimples, like kind of C-shaped dimples, a lot of times that means that they have this condition, and it's not, it's usually undiagnosed. And if it is diagnosed, it's usually diagnosed in the womb, I should say, but it's usually asymptomatic. No one, most people don't have a problem with it, but most people aren't pro wrestlers. Right? So
right.
I'd wrestled for 8 years before this injury, and it just was a freak way that I landed. And then I kept wrestling and was kind of doing the wrong thing. And so I ended up getting to the point where they're like, hey, if you don't stop and let this heal, we don't know what's going to happen. You might have to have some very serious surgeries here. So that was a pretty serious bit of news. So I just put the brakes on it altogether because I love wrestling, and I'll always be a part of wrestling. But I also love theater and having a life not totally full of pain every day. Because I was in pain every – I mean, every wrestler is in pain all the time. Every wrestler has an injury, at least one, I guarantee it. Every single one you talk to is hurt somehow. But, I mean, I was living with some major, major pain for several months and, you know, piling myself into the car and driving to Toronto for, you know, 9 or 10 hours and driving to New Jersey and Boston and all over the place. It was just time to make a different – it's time to go a different direction.
Gotcha. Okay. So we're going to go back to the documentary there real quick. So it is dropping on YouTube and Amazon Prime, and that is, of course, on tomorrow, April 9th. What are your feelings for this release? Are you excited? Are you full of anticipation? Do you have a little bit of anxiety about it?
I think I'm more relieved because – you know, this was something we started shooting, you know, a long time ago. I mean, almost 2 years ago, really. And like I said, it was supposed to be a different movie. And I had a lot of anxiety about getting it done because, I don't know, I have anxiety, you know, issues like everybody, but I have a catastrophizing type of anxiety, and that couples with obsessive compulsive disorder. So when I'm nervous about something, I'll imagine the worst case scenario. And then because of my OCD, I'll get stuck imagining the worst case scenario sometimes over and over and over again. So I was just catastrophizing this movie like it's never going to come together, or it will come together and nobody's going to care, you know, or it's not going to be what I want it to be. And then my therapist was like, okay, well, you're so worked up about this because it's a legacy piece. It's not just a movie anymore. You love wrestling so much that this, you see this as your legacy, is what you're going to leave behind forever. And it totally made me look at it from a different perspective. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought about it that way, but you're right. So I started looking at the movie from an outsider's perspective, and that made me able to edit it very easily and quickly and look at it from a different, from a storytelling standpoint, not from a, you know, a anxiety ridden standpoint, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And you know what? I think that's something that, it's something so simple that your therapist said that sometimes you don't realize. Like, I don't know, you know, I know from some experiences with me being anxious too, it's the simplest things that stops that anxiety. And yeah, you sometimes think about it and you're like, well, damn it, that was so easy. Why didn't I think about that? But you don't know, well, because you get stuck in that cycle.
Yeah, and that's also why therapy works. I mean, I don't know why this is the case, but there's something about sitting across from another adult human who you don't have a relationship with and mm-hmm. telling them very personal, intimate things and working through them that just makes it click in your brain. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky too, because I have a great partner. I mean, my wife, you know, she probably should have been a psychiatrist or a psychologist. She studied psychology and she's just got her head on her shoulders, you know, and she can help. And couple that with just the whatever it is about therapy that works. And it makes sense. And I can tell you, I don't know if anyone listening to this has any trouble with anxiety or even OCD. And when I say OCD, I'm annoyed because there's real OCD and there are different kinds. And then there's like Facebook OCD, which is like, oh my God, I'm so OCD. I just have to have a clean room. And it's like, listen, no, you're not OCD. OCD is having to flick the light switch 15 times because you're afraid if you don't, the house will burn down. You know, like that's,
yeah.
That's OCD, right? OCD is like, you can't just sit your drink down on the table once. You have to do it 17 times because that's a lucky number. You know,
right.
Something like that. Like that, or you can't stop thinking about how you're going to die in a car crash tomorrow for no reason. That's OCD. So one thing that's helped is I have a book that I carry around with me. And if I find myself getting into a worrisome thought pattern or something I'm stuck on, I just write it down. And sometimes I'll write it down a few times or I'll expand on it or keep writing about it for a while, but it gets it out of your brain. And that, I have a whole book filled up with, you know, probably anxieties and thoughts about this movie that it just got it out of my brain and I could move forward.
All right. Well, let's go back into your wrestling career. How did you get started in this wacky business?
Well, luckily, yeah, I have some, we cover it pretty well in the documentary too, but my uncle was a wrestler and also a promoter for a long, long time and still dabbles occasionally. He's having some health issues, but he still dabbles in promoting. But I grew up around wrestling. So being a wrestler was never a weird occupation. Like it always, like I hung out with Ricky Morton and Chris Hamrick and Lord Zoltan and like Tommy Rich and stuff. I just knew who they were. They were just regular guys. So wrestling seemed like a viable option. So I always just wanted to be a wrestler. And then, like everybody else, I went to middle school and high school and was ruined by everybody and was like, oh no, you can't be a wrestler. That's weird. Don't talk about wrestling. That's not popular anymore, right? And then I had a psychology class in my senior year and I got really ballsy one time and I wrote an essay about how I wanted to be a wrestler. And my teacher, Mr. Dennis, he gave me an A on the paper and then said, someone on the back, he wrote, someone has to be a pro wrestler. Why not you? And I was like, damn right. Yeah, I never looked at it that way. So I went to wrestling school and just got after it. But like I said, I grew up around it. So I was in the locker rooms with Wahoo McDaniel and Ivan Koloff in like 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, my uncle, yeah. Yeah. So they would have like chain matches and I'd hang out and be scared of their blood.
So did your uncle try to sway you from being in wrestling? Because I know a lot of times when I've talked to guys that have kids and they go, oh, absolutely, my daughter would not be in wrestling, or absolutely not, my son's not going to be in wrestling. Did your uncle try to sway you, or was he just someone maybe fueling the fire and being enthusiastic and supportive of your idea to be a wrestler?
He was really supportive. I mean, we had kind of a long distance relationship because we didn't live in the same town, but he was really supportive. And he knew that I didn't have a lot going on at home and I didn't have a really supportive family at home. So he would invite me over to his house to watch pay-per-views and stuff, you know, when I was a kid, and would just show me old tapes and just, he smartened me up at an early age. I mean, by the time I was 5 or 6, I kind of knew the deal with wrestling because, you know, you watch a guy cutting a blade and putting it in his wrist tape and you start to put it together, you know, when he comes back with the crimson mask on, right? And you see all the good guys and bad guys hanging out, eating the hot dogs that are left at the concession stand after the show, you know? So he taught me a lot, actually. Like he would smarten me up and tell me how they did certain things and show me how to do certain moves. And I remember one time having a cookout. I had a friend over and we were trying to wrestle on the trampoline and he just came down the trampoline and like started giving us spots. He's like, here, run this spot, whip him off, tackle, drop down, you know, like that type of stuff. So he was really supportive, but he also told me not to be stupid. He's like, don't let anybody take advantage of you, you know. You can't trust a lot of these people sometimes, these promoters sometimes. And so, I mean, he put a good head on my shoulders for wrestling from the very beginning. But more importantly, he taught me all about just the psychology of wrestling and the point. Like I would watch a match and would love it. Like, I remember watching Bret Hart and Steve Austin in their I Quit match at his house when it was live. And we were talking about the match. So after the show would go off, we would talk for like 4 or 5 hours till, like, you know, till the morning, basically. And he would explain to me why I loved it. He's like, you know why you love that match? Because they did this and this. And here, rewind it. Watch it back. Here's what they did. Look at that. Isn't that makes sense? So wrestling, I kind of got it figured out for me at a young age.
I think in doing my research, I discovered that you stated that one of your first memories of wrestling was reading magazines at the local Kmart.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't always have the money to buy them, so I would try to hide out. Because I figured out that, you know, my mom would go to the store, it would be 20 or 25 minutes. But if I grabbed a magazine and went off someplace where she couldn't find me, she'd take about 5 or 10 more minutes looking for me, and I couldn't read through it.
Well, I did the same thing, Chris. I did the same thing. When my parents would take me to the supermarket, I'd go, I'm going to go to the magazine rack. Can you just come over and get me when you're done grocery shopping? Because I don't care about getting bananas, you know? And yeah. I was over there reading the After mags. Did you ever get tossed? Because I got chewed out one time by one of the store managers one time for sitting down on the floor reading an After mag, and they gave me the business about, well, are you going to buy that? And they started giving me a hard time. I'm like, dude, I'm not hurting anybody. Did you ever get heat for that?
I did. Now that you mentioned that, I kind of forgot about this, but I remember one lady telling me, son, this is not a library.
A follow-up question to the magazines. Do you think that today's generation of wrestlers kind of missed out on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bummer. You know, I was watching, there's a new documentary up on the WWE Network about Edge, and he's talking about how, you know, he came back at the Royal Rumble, and he was just, he went to great lengths to keep it a surprise. Because he was like, you know, the current generation of fans don't really know what a surprise is anymore because everything leaks on the internet and everything. And while I love the internet, there was something cool about having to wait and figure out. Like, one of my most vivid wrestling magazine related time periods was 1996. I was about 10 when they were doing the NWO, like, who's going to be the third man? And that was such a slow burn. Like, it was only like, you know, 3 or 4 months. But as a kid, it was like buying the magazine with Scott Hall on the cover with that denim vest on, and the people writing the articles kind of like trying to guess on who's coming in next, and will Mabel come in and be the third man, and being like, oh God, please don't let it be Mabel. When now it's like, oh, Edge spotted in Connecticut. He's coming back. And it's like, ah, bummer, man.
Yeah, yeah. So one other thing that we share, because, again, while doing my research, I discovered that you had your own wrestling role-playing game. Is this true? As a kid?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
So a friend of mine got me into Dungeons & Dragons, but my parents wouldn't buy me the Dungeons & Dragons stuff because they told me that it was satanic. And so I tried to make my own Dungeons and Dragons stuff, but then I got in trouble, and I was like, all right. So we just got this kind of crappy old computer. So I went on and I made a role-playing game. Because even as a kid, like, I always loved 80s wrestling. I mean, even during the Attitude Era, which I watched and loved, of course, I still preferred 80s wrestling and early 90s wrestling. So I made the WWF roster from like 1989 to 1992. And I made all the old arenas and stuff, and like you could fight all around the arena. But one secret that I put in the game was that Demolition Axe, and there was no reason for this. I don't know why I did this. Demolition Axe, his stats, he was like unbeatable. Because I just thought that was funny. And so I made a role-playing game, and I never really got to play it with anybody. But just stuff like that. I did that stuff all the time. I had my own wrestling magazine that I
really
wrote. Yeah, and I started it in 96, and what prompted it was the NWO stuff. And I was like, I wrote articles where I, tried to speculate who's going to join the NWO. And my uncle, actually, I brought him a copy because he had me come over to watch wrestling pay-per-view. And I brought him a copy of the magazine because I had a teacher at school who was running them through the Xerox for me. She was copying them for me, which is like, what a saint, you know? And I gave him one, and he gave me $10 and was like, hey, here, I want a subscription. Will you have your mom or somebody mail me one every month? And so I mailed him magazines every month for like a year.
That's pretty innovative. I like that. I also had a role-playing wrestling game. My friend Steve, who I know he listens to the podcast, but we created our own. But what we did was we just created our own wrestlers. Like there were not, I mean, they were kind of modeled after who we liked, but we just had like Sinister Steve Davis, you know, you know, like people like that. And we did not have a computer. We did it like with like old school Dungeons and Dragons. Like we made up sheets and you had to fill them out by hand. And, you know, then you would make challenges. And if you rolled the dice and you rolled an even number, the challenge was accepted or whatnot. It was great fun, man. But I don't know if too many other people that created their own wrestling role-playing game. So I had to ask.
That's also the first I've heard of it too. That's the first for me too. That's awesome.
Okay. All right. Yes. So growing up, who were some of your favorite wrestlers to watch?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I was born in 1986, right? So I had no other choice but to be a Hulkamaniac. I mean, that's just, you weren't allowed to not be a Hulkamaniac. but I didn't have cable. So I got WTBS through the TV antenna, which of course nobody knows what that is anymore.
Right.
But it was free TV. So that I got to watch NWA and WCW every Saturday. And I loved this guy named Ric Flair, and he was a bad guy, but I couldn't, and I felt so conflicted, you know, because I was like, you know, I knew what wrestling was, but still, even as a kid, it was still good guys and bad guys. And I'm like, why do I love this Ric Flair guy so much? And then as a gift one time, I got a VHS copy. The first wrestling tape I ever had was SummerSlam 1989. And I used to watch the whole show over and over. And I still have it. Rick Rude and Ultimate Warrior. I just watched it over and over and over. And I realized, like, I don't hate Rick Rude. Like, what? I kind of want him to win. Like, this is so weird. Why do I feel this way? And then I realized, like, oh, I like the bad guys. So Rick Rude, Ric Flair. And then when I got Comedy Central, because my uncle used to show me Memphis Wrestling. He had all these old tapes of Memphis Wrestling. So I knew who Andy Kaufman was because I loved Taxi reruns when I was a kid. And I knew who Jerry Lawler was because I you know, the magazines were all NWA, Memphis, you know. So I knew all these guys, but I never got to see them. But my uncle had all these, you know, magical tapes that were just like these big boxes of tapes. And so I knew the Andy Kaufman storyline. But when I got Comedy Central, we finally got a satellite dish. They used to play Andy Kaufman, I'm from Hollywood, over and over and over. And it was all about Andy and Memphis Wrestling. So Andy Kaufman became one of my favorite wrestlers, too. So, you know, Flair, Rude, Kaufman, you know, all guys like that. I really just always – the guys who got their asses kicked.
You know, quick question about your uncle. Did he work as a babyface or a heel?
He was almost always a heel.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe that makes sense.
Yeah. And predominantly, he worked where? The West Virginia area and Virginia and all that? Kind of the Mid-Atlantic area?
Yeah. Yeah. Ohio, Pennsylvania. His wrestling name was Rock Parsons because he looked a lot like Ole Anderson, and he was a big Ole Anderson fan. And back in the day, they used to call Ole Anderson the Rock of the Horsemen. So Rock Parsons. He was actually in the PWI 500, and I was pissed because one of my career goals in wrestling was to try to get a higher number than him in the PWI 500.
You know, actually, I was going to mention this as a follow-up question. I actually just maybe about 6 months ago bought a DVD that has your uncle as the host.
Yeah, he does a ton of those. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of the best of Southwest Championship Wrestling, I think volume one, maybe.
Yeah, dude, he owns like he owns all these tapes, and not just like the physical tapes, but like he owns the rights to all these old wrestling TV shows, and it's just fascinating some of the footage that's out there. And yeah, he hosted a lot of times with like Bill Eady, you know, or Jim Cornette or something like that. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, this one has Ox Baker as his partner.
Oh, nice. That's what I mean. Like, I grew up, I was 10 years old hanging out with Ox Baker. Like, I didn't have a chance.
You know, well, it was an impulse buy, I'll be honest. I was like, I wanted to get free shipping on Amazon. Yeah. And I'm like, what? And I was like, oh, $5 for Southwest Championship Wrestling. Yeah, sure, I'll buy that. That'll get me what
you,
I need.
You know what's crazy? I don't know how he does it, but he's such a business dude. Because like, I was at a Walmart one time. I was on the road. I forget where I even was now. And I just popped into a Walmart and I went through their electronics section and I saw some of his DVDs on sale at Walmart. I was like, what the hell? Like, how do you get your movie at Walmart?
Well, maybe you'll find out, you know, because then you can get Magnum's Opus into Walmart. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Chris for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues, basically everything you need for your fandom, they got. And even though you can't go visit them at the store, which by the way is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, you can still interact with them. Just go over to their website, wgcomics.com, or better yet, check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/wgcomics. where every Tuesday they're doing Facebook Live auctions. You got to check out some of the deals on the auctions. No matter how you interact with those folks, whether online or eventually when you can stop on over to the store, maybe sometime in the foreseeable future, but it doesn't matter. However you interact with them, let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit here. So you studied theater. And if my research is correct, you spent a little bit of time out in Chicago. Is that right?
Yeah, I moved to Chicago almost exclusively to study more. I mean, I just love theater. I got into theater in high school and never stopped. And I moved to Chicago because I wanted to study at Second City. I wanted to study improv. And I ended up getting into a bunch of different classes and performing there quite a bit. And it was a big help to me because, you know, I wrestled from 2004 to 2009, and then I took a break for like, you know, 7 years or something. But in that meantime, I really went all in on theater and improv. And when I came back to wrestling, all that training helped me immensely. I mean, when I came back to wrestling, I realized it's just a play. I was like, oh my God, this is just a performance. Like, it's just a play. Like, why did I never realize this before? And it's lightly scripted improv, and it all felt way easier.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, you've played roles in a lot of different productions. If I recall correctly, you've done some Shakespearean type of plays as well as some more current stuff, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, right now, it's postponed because of all the COVID-19 stuff. But my wife and I are both currently cast in a production of The Producers. And this will actually be my 35th role, my 35th lead role in a musical or a play. So yeah, I've done a few.
Yeah, where's that show going to be at?
Well, this one is at the Actors Guild Players Theater, the Actors Guild of Parkersburg. It's right across the river from me in West Virginia. It's about 45 minutes from my house. But okay. They don't know when it's going up. They know it's going to be their next show. It was supposed to be up. Actually, next week we would have 2 weeks from this Friday we would have opened up, but they're looking at probably more like August or September now.
So you're also part owner of Mindful Productions, right? Which is a production company that does short films and whatnot. In fact, you mentioned some of the other ones that you've done besides just Magnum's Opus, Marking Out, as well as a few other film projects. Do you have anything now on the docket to try to get filmed or?
Well, oddly enough, yeah, you know, this is Magnum's Opus is our second feature-length documentary. I mean, so it's been quite a task. So I don't know that I'll be doing a documentary anytime soon. Although I still have a ton of footage that we haven't been able to use just because it didn't fit into the movie. And because the movie, the project changed so much once I got hurt and everything. But I kind of have a spinoff. You know, I do Mindfooled with my partner, Mike Rhodes. But I have another little company I'm putting things out on called the Super Studio, and I have a bunch of comedy projects planned. I want to get back, especially now that we're all quarantined for the foreseeable future. I want to get back into making some comedy.
Yeah. I'll tell you that is the one silver lining in all of this craziness, is that it certainly has given myself, and I, you're probably in the same boat, given you enough time to start mapping out projects and tinkering here and there, where maybe if it was just a normal everyday day, you probably maybe wouldn't get to that.
Oh, absolutely. So, like, not to make light of the situation, but I've used my time wisely. I mean, I've spent probably 200 hours editing this movie, and the bulk of that happened probably after we got you know, stuck at home. So I don't think the movie would be done right now if that hadn't happened. But that's what I've been telling everyone. I'm like, use this time, you know, stay home, write something, study something. If you're an actor, read a book about acting, get better at it. Try to memorize some stuff, challenge yourself. And for you podcasters, I mean, God, almost everyone who's a podcaster is now a full-time podcaster.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I joke that now that everybody's home, I'm getting so many emails back now from, yeah. You know, hey, I got free time. You want to, can I come on now? Yeah, well, you know.
So it's been a nice respite for me. It's been a nice outlet to be able to talk and just kind of do the interviews and have conversations. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's funny because I've never gotten more responses and retweets and action on like Twitter because everyone's just sitting at home.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That uptick has happened. I've noticed that too. So as we start to kind of wrap things up here and start tying everything together, do you have a favorite opponent in your career when you wrestled?
One of them absolutely has to be Hornswoggle, because we just gelled and connected. And, you know, I don't know if Dylan would want everyone knowing this or not, but he's actually a really super nice guy and a really sweet guy. but we just gelled, and we, you know, it's funny. We'd worked together a couple of times, and like one time it was a 6-man tag or something. It was like Jock Sampson and me against Swoggle, Colt Cabana, Bubba Ray Dudley, and Grado. And it was like, what the hell? Like, I just remember standing in the middle of the ring, and like Colt Cabana had just bit my ass, and Swoggle kicked me in the nuts, and Grado sandbagged me on a suplex, and Bubba Ray punched me in the mouth for real. And I was just like, man, how did I get here? Like, this is this is crazy. So we had done some matches like that, but when I got to AIW, they kind of put me up against Swoggle one time just to see what would happen, and we just gelled, and we ended up wrestling like, you know, 5 or 6 times. But after the first time we really had a one-on-one, he came up to me and told me, you're my favorite wrestler. He's like, you're my favorite professional wrestler, because I never was a jerk about anything. Like, he would come up with the craziest idea and think that I wouldn't go for it. And not only would I go for it, I'd have 4 or 5 ideas to make it even stupider. You know, so we always had fun, because my favorite thing, I'm like 6'4" for real and like 250 pounds. The funniest thing to me is Swoggle beating the shit out of me. Like, that is just hilarious to me. So I was just bouncing around like a ping pong ball, and he just loved it, you know. And so I'd say my favorite opponent, if I had to pick one right now, would probably be Swoggle.
Where do you get all of your fantastic capes?
Well, one idea I had, there was a woman. She does a lot of design work and does some fashion stuff. And a friend of mine named Zach, he'd gotten like a lucha mask or something from her, but she liked Mexican wrestling, but she was not a wrestling designer. And my theory on everything is always, how can I make this different? If I'm writing something or filming something, it's not always that way on stage, because if I'm playing, you know, if I'm playing Frankenfurter, I got to kind of play Frankenfurter like how you expect Frankenfurter. I can add my little nuances. But with wrestling and writing, it's like I want to make some noise in a different way. How can I stick out? And I thought, well, everyone gets their gear from like the same 4 people. And I'd ordered a bunch of gear from Closet Champion, who does all of Chikara stuff, and it was amazing stuff. but, you know, so does 50 other people. And I was like, man. So I found her, and she's a designer. And another smart thing, pro wrestlers, don't design your own gear because you're not a designer. Every bad pair of wrestling tights you see was designed by a pro wrestler.
That is solid advice.
I just told her, I was like, listen, because it's like, I'm not an architect, so I'm not going to design my house, but I'm going to go find someone who's real fucking good at designing houses and be like, hey, can you design me an awesome house? And I'm like, oh my God, I would have never thought of that because I'm not an architect. Okay. So I'm not a designer. So I just approached her and I said, hey, you know, I want you to pick some colors. I don't care, whatever colors look good together. And then I have this idea. I sent her a picture of Macho Man from the mid 80s because he had those like poncho style capes and nobody wears those anymore, really. So I was like, right. Hey, you know, everyone's got robes and stuff like that, but no one has these big Macho Man capes. I don't really care what it costs. I just want to see if it works. And they were not cheap. But I just let her design it, and I never changed her designs. I mean, she sent me the designs, and I was like, oh, my God, I never would have designed that. That's perfect. How much, you know? And same with my logos. I found a professional who was just, like, really good at making logos, and I have these great logos now, you know? So, that's where that whole look kind of came from. Her name is Dani Gosha. I spread her name around so much because everyone asked me where I got my stuff. I think she put a pause on making wrestling gear because I think it got to be a little too much, but that's just because she's really good.
Yeah. How many capes do you have, by the way?
I have three full. I mean, there were several experimental things that I've done. Okay. To try to get that look right. And I have several custom satin jackets and stuff that I tried, but I have three full length sequined, you know, full seamstress style capes. And I actually have them in my closet just because I kind of like to see them when I open my closet.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. You don't mow the yard with them on, do you?
No, but during the quarantine, I do check the mail and I do my full entrance and I take the mailman's hat and I throw it off into the woods, you know, and you got to do little things to keep things a little normal, you know.
Just make sure you're 6 feet apart from that mailman.
Yeah, well, that's true. No, I get one of those robot hand things, you know, that you get from the toy store. I just reach out and grab his hat and throw it. He kind of gives me the salute and I go back in the house.
Well, let's wrap things up here with a game that we like to play here on the PVD cast. It's called Tag Feud or Job. And let me let the listeners know exactly the rules of this little game. I have selected three wrestlers that have a commonality with you, Chris. And I'm going to ask you to pick the one that you would like to tag with for a kind of lengthy period of time. The wrestler you would like to feud with. And again, that will be for a pretty lengthy part of time. And a wrestler that you would job to night in and night out. Now, the final rule is that these three individuals, if they are not current, I would like you to remember them in their prime. Okay?
Okay.
All three of these individuals, much like Magnum CK, they have initials in their wrestling name. So you will tag feud or job with AJ Styles, SD Jones, or Magnum TA?
Oh, man. Okay, so tag, feud, or job. All right. I would feud with Magnum TA because that's a great fit for a feud for me. First of all, he could get mad at me because of the whole name thing. And then I would love to sell for Magnum TA, and I think I could take that belly-to-belly like a champ.
And it would be like Nature Boy versus Nature Boy.
Yeah, except unfortunately, I'm the Buddy Landell of that situation. But, and you know, the funny thing is, Buddy Landell is actually really good. It's just when you stand next to Ric Flair, it's like, measure up, pal.
Yeah, and what everybody else said was that, you know, Buddy Landell kind of was his own worst enemy. He didn't play well with others. That was another problem with him. Yeah. All right, so you said you would feud with Magnum TA, so tag and job.
Yeah. All right, so I would tag with SD Jones. Because that would be hilarious. Because what is he? Like, I had an SD Jones figure when I was a kid, and I always just pretended that it was Zeus. So I would love to tag with SD Jones because the whole thing wouldn't work. And that's because the combination doesn't work. that's what would make it work. It was like when Steve Austin tagged up with Mick Foley. It was like, what a disaster, but it kind of worked because it was a disaster. And then I would job to AJ Styles every night of the week because I don't think I'd have a choice because who the hell am I? But also, I think AJ would probably be the easiest one to work with.
All right. Well done, Chris. Very well done. I like that. Those are solid, solid picks. I can just now picture you standing next to SD Jones, who is so mundane and so bland. That would certainly work as a tag team.
And like, I cut this like red hot fire promo and they go this over to SD and he's just like, doesn't really know what to say. And I'm just all frustrated and trying to hurry him up. And I'm like, all right, come on. We should have been done. I gave the perfect line. Why didn't you just move up, just nod and leave with me?
All right. With that being said, let's let people know at home where they can find you on the internet.
The best place is probably Twitter at the Magnum CK. Unfortunately, there are several other Magnum CKs out there. So the Magnum CK. Yeah, it's weird. One guy, I don't know that he's not anybody, but there's one guy who has Magnum _ CK, I think, and he gets like way like political. So every once in a while, I'll get like a random tweet from someone who's like, yeah, F you and your politics. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And they're like, they mean the other guy. And I'm like, I just like blocked this person. I don't know what's going on. But that's where you'll find the links for everything for the movie. And on YouTube, if you just search up Magnum's Opus, it'll be on there and Amazon Prime as well. But Twitter's probably the best place.
All right. Do you have any closing words for the folks that are listening at home?
I hope, first of all, even if you don't know who Magnum CK is, I hope you'll check out the documentary because I don't think it really matters if you know who I am or not. I think it's a really interesting look and an honest look, not only into pro wrestling, but into mental health in general. And it's just fun. I mean, there's a lot of fun in the movie. And if you don't know me, you'll know some of the other people who are in it.
Well, there you go. Chris, man, Magnum CK. A man of many names. Thank you very much for coming on the PVD cast, man. Thanks. It's been fun.
Well, I really appreciate it. Anytime, man. I love to come on and talk about Sid Vicious or, you know, Psycho Sid or Sid Justice or any of the Sids that you want to talk about.
All right. You got it. We'll make that happen. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Chris Parsons, the man known as Magnum CK. And I really hope it did bring a smile to your face or maybe gave you a little chuckle, because it was loads of fun sitting down and talking with Chris, and I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to chat with me. And definitely check out his documentary. It's really good. It's called, again, Magnum's Opus. It's available on YouTube and Amazon Prime. Definitely check it out, please. And with that being said, I need to start wrapping things up, so let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. That's my own personal Twitter handle if you want to give me a comment or two about this episode or any episode. You could also shoot me an email if you wanted to, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You could even leave me a message over on the Facebook page or the Instagram page of this podcast. That, of course, just search for PVDcast. And if you want to let some folks know where they can get their hands on this great podcast, well, there's a ton of different ways. Obviously, the online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com, is a great way to go. But it's also available through most major podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, Pod Paradise, SoundCloud, the iHeartRadio app, Deezer, Radio.com app, basically any podcast platform. Just search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And don't forget, I'm also syndicated through Redline Radio LLC. And you know what, folks? It's a great network. They got a ton of great shows, not only the PVDcast, but the Canned Air podcast, the What's Your Opinion show, the Scoop, Hot Tag Wrestling Corner. They got a ton of great programming. You really need to check it out. Go to redlineradiollc.com, or you can listen to them on the Facebook page. That, again, would be Redline Radio LLC. And they even have an app. That's right. If you go to the Google Play Store and you search for Redline Radio LLC, you'll see the app. It's like the third one down. Click on it, install it, and you can take the station with you wherever you go. And by the way, there's one coming for us Apple users real soon. But nonetheless, no matter how you listen to the PVD cast, please remember to rate, to review, and to subscribe. I would greatly appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank everybody for listening. I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy, folks.